As he ran the loofah against his rock-hard dick, as he used his hands to teasingly rub it up and down. I tried to get up, but my legs were still numb. The strong pressure of the water jets against my body weren't much help either. All I could do was sit and watch as Jonathan teased me with that damn loofah, letting it caress all the places I wanted to touch. After many more minutes of playful torture, he tossed it onto the floor and winked. Still can't stand up. I blushed, and he walked over to me, pulling me up by my hands. As soon as we stepped out of the shower, the water jets stopped, and the lights turned white again. He pulled me over to a bench that sat in front of the sauna and smiled. He slipped into a black robe and grabbed a small towel from a drawer, wrapping it around my hair. He took another towel, a larger one, and began pressing it against my skin, slowly rubbing it all over my body. "You are so beautiful, Claire." He brushed the towel between my thighs, making my body tense, especially when you look at me like that. He placed a kiss against my thigh. It took him a while to dry me, and I thought he would ask me to return the favor, but he didn't. Instead, he unwrapped a brand new blow dryer and took his time drying every strand of my hair, massaging my scalp as tenderly as he'd done in the shower. When he was finished, he stared at my naked body for several minutes, smiling, as his eyes wandered up and down. "Hold your arms up." He reached into a drawer and pulled out a black slip. As I held my arms high, he slid the soft fabric over my head and tugged it down, smoothing it out in certain places. I started to wonder if he bought the same standard slip for all of the other serious women he'd been with. But as I looked at my reflection, I noticed that there was white cursive threading sewn onto the lace that covered my left breast. It read, "For Claire." "I've never bought lingerie for anyone else," he whispered. "Only you." He clasped my hand and led me out of the bathroom and down the hall. We walked past four doors and a small staircase before stopping in front of a set of white French doors. He took a key out of his pocket and unlocked one of the doors, pushing me inside. My eyes widened as I took in the room, the silky taupe drapes that fell down to the floor, the perfectly polished wood floors, the large mahogany poster bed that stood on the far side of the room, and the large-scale paintings that featured the greatest American authors. I walked over to the bookshelf that covered the entire back wall, pulling out the only book that wasn't perfectly aligned with the others. "I'm only 30 pages in." Jonathan stepped in front of me. "It's actually not that bad. Don't follow her lead and get any ideas about leaving me, though." He smiled as he took Eat, Pray, Love from my hands, placing it back on the shelf. "Come here." He took my hand in his and led me over to the bed. "Wine?" I nodded and he laughed. "You can answer questions, Claire." He uncorked a bottle and poured two glasses. "You just can't initiate anything." He handed me my drink. I took several slow sips and smiled. It was the same wine I'd ordered on our first date, my favorite wine. He'd remembered. "Why is he so perfect?"
"Did you have a good day at work today?"
He eyed me as he set his glass down. "Yes."
"Anything interesting happen?"
My body was trembling uncontrollably again. No matter how hard I tried to control it, it wouldn't stop.
"Claire?"
He took my glass away and cupped my face in his hands.
"Are you there?"
It was okay. I wished he would stop looking at me like that, like he wanted to devour me on the spot. We let the associates go home early since their work has improved over the past few weeks. We're still trying to figure out what approach we're going to.
"I honestly don't give two fucks about my company right now."
He crushed his lips onto mine and pushed me back onto the bed. I shut my eyes as he caressed me, as he placed small kisses up and down my neck. As he pulled my slip over my head, he whispered,
"Open your eyes."
I hesitated a second before blinking them open, and when I did, I was staring directly into his beautiful eyes. He tossed the slip onto the floor and arched his brow.
"You're very tense today." He shifted his body so he was lying next to me. And you haven't stopped shaking since we took a shower together. He held one of my quaking palms up to make a point. Are you that nervous? I didn't want to admit it, but I was. He kissed my hand and stood up. I watched him walk over to the closet and take out a small brown bottle. Lay on your stomach, he said, as he walked back over to me. I rolled over, still trembling, and felt warm oil being poured onto my back. I exhaled as his palms spread it up and down my spine, as he spread it all over me. Pressing his fingertips into my sides, he caressed me with a back-and-forth motion, over and over. Every now and then he would leave a wet kiss against my skin, and he would follow up with another deep press of his hands. Does this relax you? He kneaded the back of my thighs. Are you still nervous? He moved down to my calves, then to my ankles. I didn't answer the question. I was getting lost in the incredible sensations he was giving me. He flipped me over and began applying pressure to my feet, using his thumbs to rub my heels. What does this cursive July 16th stand for? He asked. The date of... I gasped as he kissed my instep. The date of my divorce. He laughed. And the white and red flags tattooed on your ankle. Just your fascination with flags? Yes. Okay. He let go of my foot and began massaging his way back up my body, using the same sensual motions against the front of my thighs and my stomach, spending extra time to caress my breasts. He smiled at me and left the bed again, putting the bottle away in the closet. Then he disappeared. Minutes later, he came back into the room with a glass of ice and set it on the nightstand. I was tempted to ask what the ice was for, but he gave me a look that said, I dare you. I bit down on my bottom lip and watched as he grabbed a pillow from the other side of the bed, as he propped it underneath me, straddling me. He reached over and plucked an ice cube from the glass. Let's make sure you're as relaxed as possible. He rolled it between his fingertips, letting the cold droplets drip onto my chest. Then he placed the cube onto my neck, slowly trailing it between my breasts, circling it around both of my hardening nipples. Ah, I groaned as he took one of them into his mouth, sucking on it as he continued to tease the other one with ice. Jonathan, shh. He switched positions, and I shut my eyes, trying to stay as still as possible. The next thing I felt was another ice cube, a larger one, drifting down past my breasts and into my navel. My stomach started to quiver again, not as intensely as it was before, but noticeable enough for Jonathan to hold me still and laugh. Relax, Claire. He leaned over me and grabbed another cube. I'm going to make you feel really good. He placed the cube into his mouth and kissed the inside of my thighs, alternating between using his warm tongue and the cold ice. The kisses started moving closer and closer, and then he slipped a finger inside of me, groaning at how wet I was. He looked up at me one more time, and then he put his head down, gently brushing his tongue against my clit. I gasped and sat up, bringing my knees up to my chest. Wait. Four. I can't. I'm not. Can we just have traditional sex? No. He rose up and glared at me, but I could tell he was slightly amused. I know this seems crazy because I'm not a virgin, but I told you this has never been done to me before. I didn't honestly expect you to... Claire, I'm sure you would make it amazing. Actually, I know that you would, but... Claire! Yes? Lay back down. I blinked. I couldn't move. You're going to make me ask you again? He raised his eyebrow. I blinked twice. He shook his head and smiled. Okay, Claire. He walked over to where I was curled up on the bed and picked me up, tossing me over his shoulder. He grabbed that cup of ice, and then he placed me at the edge of the bed. He lay me down against the mattress and untied the sash from his robe. Before I could figure out what he was doing, he spread my legs and tied my right one to the bed's post. Then he reached inside his robe's pocket and pulled out his tie, using it to hold down my left one. I tugged at my legs, seeing if my movement would topple the posts. But it didn't. They didn't even rock. I should have known you would be difficult about this. He kneeled between my legs with his cup of ice. Do I need to tie your hands, too? I shook my head. If you try to make me stop, I will tie them. Understand?
Yes.
Good. He placed an ice cube in his mouth and leaned forward, pressing it against my lower stomach, moving it down lower and lower. I moaned as two of his fingers plunged deep, and then I felt his tongue pressing the cube inside of me. I gasped at the coldness, trying to squeeze my legs shut, but they wouldn't move.
Jonathan, my voice was airy, strained. Jonathan, stop.
He kept pushing the ice in and out of me, flicking his tongue against my lips as he did it, rendering me completely helpless.
Oh my God.
I could feel it melting, could feel his tongue lapping up the drops.
Stop.
He ignored me. He began kissing my lips like he was kissing my mouth, driving his tongue deeper and deeper, softly biting down on my clit, sucking on it as I writhed and pleaded for him to stop. The pleasure was too intense, too raw, and my body was convulsing with every stroke of his tongue. I reached down and threaded my fingers through his hair, too weak to push him away. As he placed his hands underneath my thighs, slightly lifting me up for a better angle, his lashes became more forceful, more vigorous. Stop fighting it. He drew my clit into his mouth, rolling his tongue all around it, and I lost all sense of time. I could hear myself screaming like I'd never screamed before. Not sure how he could stand it, how he could keep torturing me like this. Come for me, Claire, he whispered, refusing to relent his pleasurable kisses.
Ah, I
felt him sucking me even harder, faster, and I couldn't hold back anymore. Every nerve in me exploded, and my body began shuddering violently. I clung to the sheets as my toes curled, as he made me come harder than I'd ever come in my life. My breathing was out of control. My body was still quivering, struggling to come down from an extreme high. Claire, I heard him say my name as he untied my legs. But I didn't respond. I was too dazed, shocked. I could barely feel the kisses he was now placing against my stomach, against my chest. As he moved on top of me, tremors were still making their way through my body. I tried to calm down, but I felt him sliding into me, filling me. And I gasped, "Look at me," he whispered, waiting for me to oblige. I held my head up, looking into his eyes, and he pressed his lips against my cheek. You're mine. You'll always be mine. He slowly pulled out of me, pushing his way back in, and for the first time there was nothing between us. We were skin to skin, and I could feel a dramatic difference. I felt closer to him, more complete. He took his time making love to me, holding my hands above my head, as he pushed me into another mind-blowing climax. Once my body stopped convulsing, he slipped his arms around me and kissed my lips. Are you okay? He asked. I nodded because that's all I could do. When I finally regained some strength, I pressed myself closer to him and stared into his eyes. I wasn't sure how long we lay entwined together, or how long he held me tight and kissed me over and over again, telling me how beautiful I was. Every second seemed to blur together, but at some point I felt him getting out of the bed. My heart started to race. Where are you going? I cleared my throat, wincing when I felt how dry it was from screaming.
To get some more ice.
He smiled.
We're going to do that again, and then I'm going to punish you for talking.
Chapter 19. Claire. Stop looking at him. Stop looking at him. I tried to keep my eyes focused on the interns that were standing at the front of the room. They were talking about why they deserved to have my two IPO ball tickets. But I couldn't help but stare at Jonathan. He was sitting directly across from me, and he wasn't making it any easier for me to focus. He flashed a lusty smile every few seconds, playfully licked his lips, or gave me a look that said he wanted to take me across the conference table right after this meeting was over. I'd spent all day yesterday lying in bed staring at the ceiling, replaying every single second of Friday night, wishing it hadn't come to an end. It was the most amazing sex I'd ever had, and I still couldn't believe how perfect it had been.
Miss Grayson? Mr. Barnes cleared his throat. Which team do you think did the best? Who do you pick?
I looked over at the four interns who stood in the corner with their eyes shut, hoping to be selected. They'd all done an incredible job, and both teams technically deserved to go. I pick both, I smiled.
What? You only have two tickets to...
One team can have my tickets to the IPO ball, and the other team can have my tickets to the one-day retreat in Napa Valley this weekend. Everyone in the room let out a collective gasp. Jonathan's eyes widened.
You're giving up a private flight in a winery day?
Mr. Barnes sounded shocked.
Seriously?
I nodded. I'd been thrilled when the board sent all the directors an email about rewarding us for our hard work. They'd announced that they were giving us a first-class flight to one of the best wineries in the country. But I knew I wouldn't accept it as soon as they sent us the tickets. I am. This will make the rest of the interns' work even harder, don't you think? I may still meet you guys there, though. It is only a one-hour drive away, and I do love wine, I laughed, and the rest of the directors laughed with me.
Wow, that's very generous of you, he smiled. Thank you, interns, for all your hard work, and we'll email you about which team gets what tickets later today.
We gave them one last round of applause as they left the room. As soon as the door shut, we all stood up and stretched while Mr. Barnes prepared the projector screen for our weekly Come Together session.
That was very nice of you.
Jonathan texted me. Thank you.
I designed that reward just for you.
Why did you give it up? I was trying to be nice.
A little too nice.
I looked up so I could give him a dramatic eye roll, but he wasn't in front of me anymore. He was sitting right beside me.
Jonathan, I whispered.
You can't. Please don't.
Please don't what? I can't sit next to you during the film.
No.
Why not?
I narrowed my eyes at him and he smiled.
Am I allowed to touch you in public yet?
He reached for the pen I was holding and pressed his fingers against my hand as he slowly drew it away.
Stop it. Stop what?
He purposely dropped the pen in my lap. I jumped up from the table and cleared my throat. I'm going to get some coffee from downstairs before we start. Does anyone else want anything?
Oh, can you get me a caramel macchiato?
I'll take a regular coffee with extra foam.
I'll have a mocha latte.
I ripped a sheet of paper out of my notebook and held it out for people to write down their orders.
I'll help you get the coffee, Miss Grayson.
Jonathan stood up and smiled at me. Shit. Why didn't I think about that? I watched the paper stop at every single director, wondering if someone else would volunteer to help me bring it back. But by the time the paper made it full circle, no one had offered.
You don't have to rush to get back.
Mr. Barnes handed me the paper.
It's apparently going to take 20 to 30 minutes for our satellite advisor to join us on the video chat today. He's having difficulties with his login.
Right. I walked out of the room and rushed towards the elevators. I don't need your help, Mr. Statham. I'll just get a coffee cart and roll it back. He rolled his eyes and hit the down button. It's too early for us to do anything. I looked up at him pleading. It's way too risky, and you know it. The elevator doors sprang open, and he pushed me inside. I thought he was going to hit the stop button and kiss me anyway, but he pressed the button for the lobby and looked over at me.
I'm not trying to sleep with you right now, Claire,
he said.
I just want to be around you. That's it.
Okay. The elevator reached the lobby and we both grabbed a coffee cart as soon as we stepped off. I tore the list in half and handed it to him. It was nice of you to install a free Starbucks here. Everyone loves it.
I'd hope so. One of my employees thought the old coffee we served tasted like shit.
It did, he laughed.
Why did you really give up your winery ticket?
Wine is one of your favorite things.
It's my number one favorite thing.
I honestly just wanted to be nice. The interns have been working late hours, too, and they haven't been getting paid extra, so... I handed my coffee list to the barista. I didn't know you planned that trip with me in mind.
Well, now that you're not going, we can do something else together.
Like what?
I'll think of something.
He handed his list to the other barista and helped me load napkins and pastries onto the cart. His phone started to ring and he stepped away.
I'll be right back.
The barista set more coffees on the counter, and I loaded them onto our carts.
Claire, is that you?
Mr. Henderson stepped in front of me.
How have you been?
I've been well. And yourself? I haven't seen you around in a while. Have you been sick?
No. I got a promotion.
He smiled.
I work in operations now. I'm glad I ran into you, though. Are you still going out with... someone else?
Yes. He dramatically frowned and then he laughed.
Lucky guy. You know, if you ever... Mr. Henderson.
Jonathan came back and reached out for a handshake.
How are things in the operations department so far? They're amazing. Thank you so much for the personal recommendation. I'd been applying for a position there for years.
It's not a problem.
Jonathan smiled at him.
I'd like to make sure hard-working people are exactly where they belong.
He shot me a disapproving glance.
Well, thank you again, Mr. Statham. I'll see you around, Claire. Call me whenever the lucky guy messes up, okay?
Mr. Henderson winked at me and walked away. Jonathan rolled his eyes and helped me place the finished coffees onto the carts. You gave him a promotion to keep him away from me, didn't you? I couldn't believe him.
What are you talking about?
He started pushing his cart towards the elevator. Tell me the truth.
Tell you that I put in a word for him to get the job he wanted?
I shook my head and stepped onto the elevator. No. Tell me that you did it because he...
Yes.
He pushed me against the wall as soon as the doors closed.
I made him senior advisor and moved the entire operations department to the building across the street, so he wouldn't cross paths with you. Just in case you forget who you're dating again. And yes, I'll do it to anyone else who comes on to you. As a matter of fact, now that I've seen him getting coffee over here, I'm going to have a Starbucks installed in the building across the street, so there's no need for him to come over here again. Satisfied?
I blinked.
I thought so.
The elevator doors opened, and he pushed his cart towards the conference room, stopping once he was outside the door.
Tell them I have another meeting to go to this afternoon.
He brushed his lips against my cheek.
I'll see you tonight.
I brought a glass of water to my lips and sighed. I was sitting in the private room of Jardinier, an upscale restaurant in Hayes Valley. There were softly burning candles set on my table, and a large red rose bouquet that read,
I'm very sorry that you're alone right now. I promise I'll make it up to you. Jonathan.
Would you like to have a glass of wine while you wait, miss?
The waiter asked. No, thank you. I'm fine. He gave me a sympathetic smile and walked away. I'd been sitting alone for 30 minutes, wondering exactly how late Jonathan was going to be. He'd texted me right after work, letting me know that his board meeting was going to be a long one, and that Greg would pick me up for our date tonight. I scrolled through my phone again, hoping to see a text from him, but I felt his hand rub against my bare back, felt him pressing a kiss against my shoulder.
Good evening, Claire.
Hi. My body immediately came to life, reacting to his sexy voice and his gentle touch. He kissed my neck and whispered softly in my ear,
Are you wearing anything underneath this?
He tugged at the low cut on the back of my dress. I shook my head, and he let out an approving, before taking a seat across from me. How was your meeting? I asked.
It was unnecessarily long and dry, as usual. I'll be happy when this IPO is behind me. I don't think I can...
His eyes met mine, and he sucked in a breath. He reached over the table and clasped my hand.
What's wrong with you?
What?
What are you talking about?
Glad to see you've arrived safely, Mr. Statham. The waiter stepped over to our table. What wine will you two be having tonight?
Could you give us a second, please?
Jonathan kept his eyes on me as the waiter disappeared.
Your eyes are red, and I'm pretty sure your mascara is supposed to be on your eyelashes, not underneath your eyes. You've been crying?
No, I have really bad allergies. I reached into my purse for my compact mirror. I swear this time of year always gets to me. There's so much pollen in the...
Stop lying to me, Claire.
I sighed. It's not that big of a deal. It was an angry cry.
About me being late?
No, I...
Let's go.
He stood up and reached for my hand.
We can talk in the car.
I leaned against him as he wrapped his arm around my shoulders and walked me out of the restaurant. Valet pulled his car to the front as soon as we approached, and as usual, he helped me into my seat and waited until I was comfortable before speeding away. I didn't know where he was taking me, and I honestly didn't care. If we rode around aimlessly for the rest of the night, I would be happy with that. We sped through the city streets, past all the glimmering lights. When we came to a stop sign, he looked over at me.
Do you plan on ever talking?
I wanted to make sure I wouldn't be punished if I did. He rolled his eyes.
Good to know it's not that serious.
It's not. I shook my head. My daughters are taking a flight to Anaheim later tonight. It's their baby stepbrother's birthday, so their dad called at the last minute. He said he wanted them to join him and his hoe at Disneyland tomorrow.
You're upset because they're going?
No. He'll always be their dad and he can see them whenever he wants. I'm upset because he waited until the very last minute to mention it. We have an arrangement, and I know he didn't buy those plane tickets yesterday, you know?
I see. Well, that's understandable. Do I need to have you home early so you can drop them off at the airport?
No. Their grandmother always takes them to and from the airport.
Hmm.
He looked concerned. It's not that big of a deal. I'm not that upset, I promise. I just hate when he calls. Hate that he still exists. I'm sure hanging with you tonight will keep my mind off.
What's your favorite movie?
Anastasia. Why?
The cartoon?
I nodded. Yeah, but...
And you laughed at me about Harry Potter?
He rolled his eyes and made a sudden U-turn, driving in the other direction.
Have you eaten anything since lunch?
I shook my head and he pulled out his phone.
Greg, Miss Grayson and I would like to see a movie. No, dinner will need to be delivered. No seafood. Yes, that would be perfect, actually. Anastasia. Yes, I'm aware that it's animated. An hour, more than likely. Thank you.
You shut down movie theaters, too? I looked at him as he put his phone away.
Something like that.
He pulled over at a small convenience store.
I'll be right back. Do you want anything out of here?
I shook my head and he kissed me before walking away. As I sat in the car alone, I wondered if he was really capable of shutting down a theater, just so he and I could watch a film that was 13 years old. I leaned back in the seat and shut my eyes, thinking about us once again. I was starting to believe that this thing we had might actually go somewhere, even though I was still afraid to completely embrace it. I was starting to believe that...
Claire, stop it right now. Jonathan got back in the car and I opened my eyes.
Stop what?
You know what you were doing.
He handed me a small carton of mint chocolate chip ice cream and a pink spoon.
I figured this would help cheer you up a bit. It's going to be a long drive, and you might get hungry on the way.
I smiled, shocked that he'd actually remembered my favorite comfort food. Tell me the truth. Do you really record our phone conversations?
No, Claire.
He revved up the car.
I just have a good memory. It's also pretty hard to forget anything about you.
He drove away into the night, and I savored every bite of that ice cream. It always did make me feel better. As the car cruised out of the city, I started to wonder where the hell we were going. We weren't anywhere near a movie theater, or civilization, for that matter. There was nothing but open fields of grass everywhere I looked. I thought about asking him where he was taking me, but I knew he wouldn't tell me.
I looked over at him and he placed his hand on my thigh, gently caressing it as he drove. I started to shut my eyes, but the car came to a sudden stop in front of a huge white billboard. "Did you run out of gas or something?" I stretched my arms up. "Do we need to start walking?"
"No. Get in the back seat."
I didn't move. I didn't understand why I needed to get in the back seat for him to drive the rest of the way to the movies. Didn't understand why he'd changed our plans from a night at the theater to random car sex. "I swear." He pressed a button and the top of the convertible folded down. He stepped out of the car and moved to my side, picking me up and placing me in the back seat. He slid in next to me and began fiddling with a black device. I was thinking of something smart to say, fixing my mouth to ask a myriad of questions, but out of nowhere, a projector light flashed onto the blank billboard, and the opening credits of Anastasia began to play. The sound seemed to be coming from all around us, but I couldn't see where the speakers were.
"I figured that since you're still hesitant about being seen in public together, we could watch the movie this way."
He kissed my cheek.
"Plus, the chairs here recline a lot further than they do in the regular theater."
He tapped a button, and our seats slowly set back. He slid closer and wrapped his arm around my shoulders.
"I'm sure we'll take advantage of them after our dinner gets here."
I snuggled up to his chest and kissed him. Or we could take advantage of them now.
Chapter 20. Jonathan.
"I think that went rather well,"
my mother said as our therapist left the office. It did. I wasn't sure if it was because we were actually sorting out our issues, or if being with Claire so much made me calmer. But my mother and I had completed several therapy sessions without blowing up on one another. She pulled a purse over her shoulder and stood up.
"Did I tell you I got a raise last week?"
"No. You have a job?" She nodded. I didn't want to say anything until I was past the probation period, but you don't have to work.
"I know, but I need something that'll occupy my time and keep me on the straight and narrow. I don't want to fall back into my old habits."
Jesus, she really is trying to stay clean this time. "Would you like a ride? I can have Greg take you. Where is it exactly?"
"No, I'm fine. I'm in a buddy program. My ride should be here in any second. It's a small shop near the Eastern Docks. It has the most amazing view of the ocean."
I stepped around my desk and gave her a hug. "I'm proud of you." I wanted to say more, to say that I would meet her down there sometime for lunch, but I couldn't bring myself to say it. I couldn't let myself hope that she would actually change for good. She'd let me down way too many times for that. My secretary buzzed my intercom.
"Mr. Statham, I have..."
"I thought I said absolutely no interruptions today," I groaned. "I told you I was going to be extremely busy and can't afford to..."
"It's Miss Grayson, sir."
"Oh, I'm sorry, Angela. Send her in, please." I let go of my mother and noticed that she was raising her eyebrow, looking as if I owed her some type of explanation.
"Who is she?"
she asked. "Who's who?" "The woman who clearly has more privileges than I do. I've been turned away numerous times with the Mr. Statham isn't available for any unscheduled meetings today line."
"Why is this woman so important?"
I sighed. "She's my girlfriend."
"Really? Can I meet her?"
Her eyes lit up.
"Please?"
"You can say hello, and then you can say goodbye."
"Jonathan, I..."
"We're not there yet. Don't try to force it." She gritted her teeth.
"Fine."
"Forget it. She doesn't deserve to meet Claire." I reached for her hand so I could walk her out, but the door to my office had already opened. Claire sauntered in wearing a fitted navy blue dress and a light beige jacket, with matching high heels that made her legs look even longer. She smiled, and just like that, I forgot all about my annoying mother and the hectic day ahead. "Good afternoon." I walked over and kissed her on the cheek.
"You look amazing."
I led her over to my mom. "This is my mother, Denise Statham. Mother, this is..."
"Claire,
my mom interrupted as she reached out for Claire's hand.
It's a pleasure to finally meet you. You're absolutely gorgeous. Jonathan's very lucky to have you. Thank you, Mrs. Statham. I'll see you next week, son.
My mom gave me one last hug and headed towards the back walls of my office, towards the private elevator. I pulled Claire into my arms.
Is something wrong? Are you sick?
It must be something fatal if you came up here during the hours when people might actually see you. She rolled her eyes.
We just wrapped up the S tablet, so Mr. Barnes is letting us go home early.
My phone died, so I figured I'd come tell you that before you thought I was ignoring you. Good decision. I would take you out to lunch to celebrate, but I'm booked with meetings until 6. Dinner? There's a new bistro down at...
Mr. Statham,
Angela's voice came over the intercom once more.
I hate to bother you again, but Miss Griffin is here with an emergency. She says it can't wait another second.
I sighed and stepped back. Wait here. Don't go anywhere. I pulled out a chair for her and walked out of the room. This better be an emergency, Vanessa.
It is. I don't use that word lightly.
I followed her down the hall into a conference room and sat down.
What is it? The Noracorp's transaction was approved by the board and we were about to fax it off to the bank, but we're missing your signature on several documents. It's kind of the most important one, don't you think?
Oh, that definitely would have been a disaster. I took the folder from her hands and pulled out a pen, initializing every necessary blank, reading over highlighted paragraphs here and there. Do I need to sign off on these C-18 forms too? She batted her eyes.
Yes.
Ugh, God. I started signing the blanks faster, purposely avoiding her flirty glances each time she cleared her throat. Ever since she'd gotten upset with me after that late-night meeting, I'd put some serious distance between us. I still spoke with her after meetings, still laughed at her witty jokes, but I never allowed myself to be alone with her for too long.
You're really not going to tell me your new girlfriend's name?
She placed her hand over the documents. It's none of your business.
I'm dating someone new.
That's great, I smiled. I'm happy to hear that. Ecstatic to hear that.
His name is Paul Jordan, and he owns a chain of mid-scale hotels. See? I told you his name, now you can tell me hers.
What does the name of the woman I'm dating have to do with our acquisition of Noracorp's tomorrow? I thought signing these documents was the reason why you came up here. She sighed.
It was. Don't forget that they're going to be here in the morning. They want to get official copies of the bank's approval forms. I think this may be the second best investment we've ever made.
Me too, I stood up. I'll get here early tomorrow. I'll have the chef make something for...
Is it the redhead who works in marketing?
She grabbed my hand.
The director who did all that work on the S-Phone Blue?
I raised my eyebrow.
I saw you two holding hands in the garage late last night. She's really pretty. Stunning, even. I just...
She shook her head.
All these years that I've been here, I've tried getting close to you. And you've always pushed me away. Why? Why am I not good enough for you?
I couldn't believe she was trying to pull this emotional bullshit with me. I remained stoic. I needed to choose my next words very carefully.
I'm not like Audrey. She reached up and ran her hands across my chest, making my skin crawl. I'm not trying to use you or push you over the edge to get your money. I'm your friend, and you can't deny that we have undeniable chemistry. I've looked out for you ever since my father invested in your company. I even sat with Haley through some of her skin grafting surgeries when you couldn't be there. I'm not a dim-witted bimbo, a gold digger, or a divorcee with kids who's trying to live out her cougar dreams and get you to marry her so she can run off with all your money after she divorces you. I'm not like...
Excuse me?
She bit her lip and traced her fingertips along my mouth. I'm just saying that I wouldn't take advantage of you like some of the women you've been interested in. And even though I'm dating someone else now, whenever you come to your senses, I'll...
Okay. I grabbed her hand and moved it away. Since you clearly don't understand what the word no means, let me help you with the exact definition. I am not interested in you. I will never be interested in you. I don't give a damn what you think about whoever you assume I'm dating. But if she happens to be a divorcee with kids, she's 10 times better than you would ever be for me. I'm aware that me canceling the employee fraternization policy left you feeling confused about your imaginary status of us. But sexual harassment goes both ways, and that policy is still in effect. Are we clear? I took her stunned silence and dropped jaw to be a yes. I'll see you in the morning. I turned away from her and walked out. I headed to my office and took a deep breath. I was going to have to limit my interactions with Vanessa to business only, until she got a grip on herself, maybe even avoid her completely. I walked inside and pulled Claire to her feet. I'm so sorry about that. What was I saying before? Dinner. Right. There's a new restaurant down at Fisherman's Wharf, and I'd love to... Rain check. I promised the girls I would make pasta tonight. Maybe we can... I like pasta. Oh, well, I'll bring the leftovers to work tomorrow. Do you want me to pack Parmesan cheese with... I can't come over and have dinner with you and your family? I narrowed my eyes at her. What type of answer is that? You want to meet my daughters? Do they know I exist? She nodded. Then what's the problem?
Nothing,
she looked surprised.
Dinner is at 7.
I pulled up to her house 10 minutes early. I'd bought 3 custom bouquets of spring roses, one for Claire, one for Ashley, and Caroline, and a large bottle of sparkling apple cider to share over dinner. I walked up the steps and pressed the doorbell, smiling at the memory of the first time I'd done that in January. Within seconds, one of her daughters opened the door. She tilted her head to the side, causing her wavy red hair to fall with her, and she blinked several times. She was the spitting image of Claire, only she had more dominant freckles on her cheeks, and her eyes were a much paler green.
"Mom, it's that guy you told us about,"
she called behind her shoulder. Then she stared at me. "Are you going to let me in, Ashley?" I smiled.
"Whoa, how do you know my name already?"
"Your mom told me a while ago, but you're still wearing your name tag from work."
"Oh, yeah."
She stepped back and let me in. Her other daughter, Caroline, came down the steps and stood next to Ashley. Then they both stared at me, blinking in unison. They were dressed in the same work uniform, white-collared shirts with khakis, and all their freckles were in the exact same places. I wasn't sure how anyone could ever tell them apart. I handed them the rose bouquets, hoping they would lead me to Claire, but they simply said, "Aw," at the flowers and continued staring at me.
"I guess he's hot after all. Mom did a really good job," Ashley nodded. "I like his tie."
"I like his shoes," Caroline tapped her lip. "Do you think he dresses like this every day? Or he's dressing like this to impress her?"
"Probably just to impress her. He can't afford to dress like that every day. I bet he got these flowers at the discount stand down the street."
"Or maybe he works at the discount stand down the street."
"Yeah, he's probably a salesman. A hot salesman, though."
Do they not realize that I can hear them?
"What's his name again?"
"Jonathan, ladies," I smiled. "Where's your mother?"
"Dining room,"
they uttered in unison. "Okay." I realized that they were never going to lead me in the right direction, so I walked around them. I saw Claire setting the table and handed her the last bouquet.
"Thank you," she smiled. "I don't think the 100 I receive in my office every morning are enough."
"I'll be sure to increase the amount. Do you need any help with dinner?"
"No, thank you. It's already done."
She set down a stack of napkins.
"Ashley? Caroline? Dinner's ready."
The next few minutes that unfolded were like a scene out of a 50s television sitcom. Ashley and Caroline rushed into the room and took their places at the table. They passed around the plates and bowls, laughing at nothing at all. Then Claire set down a huge bowl of pasta, and the girls took turns spooning out huge helpings. They talked excitedly about their day at school, a second successful bake sale with the cheerleading team, an A they both received in physics class, and some lame loser who liked Ashley but couldn't tell her apart from Caroline. I'd only seen this type of behavior in movies or in TV,
I didn't know this actually happened in real life.
So, Jonathan, wait, we can call you Jonathan, right?
Caroline passed me the breadstick basket.
That's perfectly fine.
Great. So, what's it like being a flower salesman? Do you get good tips? Do you cut your own stems?
I laughed. I'm not a flower salesman. I wondered why Claire hadn't told them that. I'm the CEO of Statham Industries.
What?
She gasped.
You're the CEO of Mom's company?
She pulled out her phone and scrolled across the screen. She raised her eyebrow and hit Ashley on the shoulder.
Ashley? He has his own Wikipedia page. Wait, why isn't his picture on here?
Maybe he has low self-esteem, Ashley shrugged.
What?
No, I just prefer to keep a low profile.
Weird.
Ashley tapped her phone screen and looked at me.
So, you're a billionaire.
You're like filthy rich, I smiled. You could say that.
You didn't tell us he was rich, Mom.
You should have said that first.
In that case, Caroline and I are trying to get my mom to make a certain decision for us, and we need your rich opinion.
Oh, God.
What is it? I noticed Claire glaring at her from across the table.
We think we each deserve to have our own car. We do everything right in school, we work part-time at the airport, and we hardly get in any trouble. If you had a twin brother, would you want to share everything?
We just got our own rooms a few years ago, and we think it's way past time for a car. What do you think?
I wasn't exactly sure how to handle this. I didn't have any experience with teenage angst. I cleared my throat. Are either of you trying to buy your own car?
Is he serious? Did he really just say that?
Ask him again. Maybe we heard that wrong.
We didn't.
Ashley rolled her eyes. If you'll excuse us, Mother. Jonathan, we have some work to finish.
They both stood up and narrowed their eyes at me before disappearing into another room.
What did I say?
Thank you for telling them that.
Claire walked over and brushed her lips against mine. We didn't bore you too much tonight, did we?
No, not at all. It was just different.
What do you mean different?
Having a family dinner. I've never had that before.
Your foster family?
They always made me eat alone in my room. I shook my head at the ugly memories. The dinner table was for their real children.
Your biological parents never cooked dinner when you were little? Not once?
Not that I recall. Although there was this one time when my mom promised to cook a Christmas dinner. She hyped it up all week, saying that we were finally going to have a real holiday meal together. She even made me and Haley write out a list of everything we wanted her to make. She and my dad took the lists with them to the grocery store on Christmas Eve.
What happened?
They didn't come back until New Year's.
Oh, she murmured. I'm so sorry. Jonathan!
Ashley, I think, peeked around the corner.
Do you have a steady hand?
I think so. Why?
Me and Caroline need someone to trace the blueprint of our model Boeing 707 while we go over the coating. My mom's hands aren't steady at all.
I kissed Claire on her cheek.
Okay.
I followed Ashley into a large room that was painted light blue with fluffy white clouds. There were model planes everywhere, hanging from the ceiling, sitting in glass cases, and standing on the wall.
So, putting model planes together is your hobby?
I sat down and began tracing a blueprint in white chalk.
Is this what you two...
Our hobby, Caroline scoffed. You are sitting with two of our nation's future top pilots. This is our career we're talking about.
Yeah, Ashley held up a chart of code.
There aren't that many women in the skies, and me and my sister are going to change that.
I looked over their charts, noticing that some of the equations were similar to the ones I'd used to build former programs.
A lot of this stuff wasn't taught until college.
Claire had told me that they were practically geniuses when it came to books. But I'd never met any teenagers who were this well-versed in physics.
Do you have your own plane, Jonathan?
Ashley etched a diagonal line alongside my paper.
I do.
What model? What type of engine? What's the passenger capacity? Is the nonstop range over 2,000 miles?
I have no idea.
What?
Ashley traced around my wing.
How is that possible? You bought a plane and you didn't ask any of these questions?
I guess I have people to do that for me, I shrugged. If your mom says it's okay, I'll take you on a trip one day. I have an excellent pilot. I'm sure he'd love to give you a tour and answer all your questions.
They both screamed and squealed, and then they went silent all of a sudden, focusing on the task at hand.
Dessert? Claire poked her head through the door. I made crushed Oreo and Butterfinger sundaes.
Nobody move, Ashley yelled. I need him to hold the wing steady for one more minute.
You can't bring the sundaes in here, Mom.
No, that's okay. I don't want to mess up the new carpet, Claire flinched. They'll be in the kitchen whenever you're ready, okay? The twins murmured, okay, and kept their eyes glued to the charts. Once they finished checking my wing tracing and writing down the measurements, they dismissed me with an, okay, Mom's boyfriend, you can go now. We'll be out for dessert eventually. I went back into the kitchen, but I didn't see Claire. The sundaes she'd made were sitting on a small tray, slowly melting onto the table, so I placed them in the freezer. I circled around the living room and her newly finished hallways, looking to see where she'd run off to. I started to walk upstairs, but I heard the creaking of a rocking bench coming from her porch. You okay, Claire? I stepped outside.
Yeah, I forgot tonight was going to be a starry night, she pointed up at the twinkling sky. I wanted to look at it before I cleaned.
I sat down and pulled her close. Thank you for dinner tonight. I loved it.
You're welcome.
Maybe next time you can come over earlier and cook for all of us instead.
You're referring to our future now? You're sure you're okay?
She laughed and snuggled against my chest.
Could you please tell me what you want for your birthday? It's this weekend.
Nothing. I never celebrate it.
Why not?
I just don't. I needed to stay off that subject forever.
Is there a reason why your daughters have iPhones and not S-phones?
Of course there is, she smirked. It's because everyone knows that iPhones are better.
Are they really?
Yeah, iPhones are so sleek and modern. They do everything the S-phone does and more. As a matter of fact, the only reason I have an S-phone is because the CEO insists on making every employee have one. If it wasn't for that, I would definitely have an iPhone. It even sounds better than S-phone.
Take it back right now or I'll fire you.
I even think the commercials for the iPhones are better. I bet their marketing team would be a joy to work for. They make me want to trade in my phone every time I see them on TV.
I pulled her into my lap and narrowed my eyes at her.
Take it back.
Make me.
I laughed and sealed my lips over hers. I will.
Chapter 21. Jonathan. I hit the lights in my office and froze. There were hundreds of bright silver streamers hanging from the ceiling. Blue and white balloons covered every inch of the floor, and there was glittery confetti all over my furniture. There was even a huge banner strung across the windows that read, "Happy birthday, Jonathan."
"Angela?"
She rushed into the room.
"Yes, Mr. Statham."
"Who did you let into my office? I thought we thoroughly discussed the rules. No one is allowed in my office when I'm not here."
She wouldn't take no for an answer, she whispered. She was very firm.
"Who is this she?"
"Miss Grayson."
"Hmm." I held back a laugh. "Okay. Thank you for telling me."
"You're not going to write me up for this, are you? She threatened me."
"Have I ever written you up?"
"No,"
she grinned.
"Your 8 o'clock appointment just arrived. Do you want me to have maintenance pick up all the balloons first?"
"No, they can stay. Send the guys inside in 5 minutes."
"Yes, sir."
I walked over to my desk and spotted a small white cake in the shape of the letter J and a silver envelope. I picked it up and sliced it open.
"Dear Jonathan, I know you said that you don't normally do anything for your birthday, but I want to celebrate it with you anyway. I made us a 9 o'clock reservation at Sierra Mar, and I look forward to seeing you tonight. We can do anything you want. Yours, Claire."
I set the card down and smiled. Whenever I'd told the other women I dated that I didn't celebrate my birthday, they simply said, "Okay," and left it alone. There were no surprise balloons and cake, no surprise dinner dates.
There weren't even simple cards. Then again, I'd always made sure I was out of the country to prevent that from happening.
"I'm sending them in now, Mr. Statham,"
Angela's voice bounced off my walls. A young man in a black suit walked through my door, trying his hardest to step around all the balloons.
"Good morning, Mr. Statham."
"Good morning, Mr. Harris. Where's Mr. Fletcher?"
"Right here, sir," another young man walked in right behind him. "It's a pleasure to see you again. We're happy you agreed to do this short follow-up."
"It's an honor to be featured." I shook their hands and motioned for them to take a seat. I walked around my desk and sat down, leaning back as they pulled out their digital recorders.
"As you know, Mr. Statham," Mr. Harris said, "we're both writers for Tech Next magazine. We're here to get a few personal quotes for our issue that will debut the same day your company goes public. We just had a few that weren't answered the last time."
"Ask away."
"First question. When you started this company, what was your original vision?"
"I'm honestly not sure how to answer that. My former college professor..." I suddenly felt familiar hands unbuttoning my pants beneath the desk.
"Mr. Statham?"
"I'm sorry," I smiled. "My former college professor didn't make me outline a plan back then. He only wanted me to develop better computers and come up with new software ideas."
"Are there any ideas that were scrapped in the startup years and are going to be developed in the near future?"
I took a deep breath as my pants were tugged down, as Claire placed soft kisses along the inside of my thighs.
No. Most of what I designed back then has already been developed. But there are always newer ideas that come our way, and..."
I felt her kisses becoming more forceful, more passionate. "With technology advancing as fast as it has over the past 5 years, we're looking forward to putting more products out for the public each year."
He nodded and looked at his paper. "When your first computer took off, breaking the record for the fastest-selling home computer, did you think you would stick to computers forever?"
"No, I suppressed a groan. Claire was running her hands up and down my dick, and I was clenching every muscle in my body, trying my hardest to stay focused on this interview and not pull her from under the desk. "I never wanted to stick to computers. At the time, I did that because home computers were what everyone seemed to want. But I was always looking ahead, wondering about the possibilities of the days when computers would be outdated."
"Are you shocked at how well your company has done over the years?"
"Yes," I sucked in a breath as Claire's tongue teased the tip of my dick, as she swirled it around and around. "I'm very shocked." I sighed as she started to take me deeper and deeper into her mouth.
"Do you have any words of inspiration for those who are trying to enter the software world? Any advice for those who dream of taking your spot at the top of the industry chain one day?"
God, I love this woman. "I would tell them to work 10 times harder than the hardest working person they know, and that there's a big difference between talent and persistence. It's nice to have both, but the latter always wins."
"Thank you so much, Mr. Statham. I think we've got everything. Happy birthday, by the way."
They both reached over my desk and shook my hand.
"No, thank you
for cutting this interview short."
I stayed glued to my seat and handed them my business card.
"If you need anything else, feel free to call me. Make sure my secretary gives both of you an S-phone blue before you leave." Their eyes widened and they practically screamed, "Thank you," before rushing out of my office. I buzzed Angela, "Please hold any other meetings until I say so."
"Yes, sir."
I rolled my chair back and pulled Claire from underneath the desk. I didn't say anything. I just laughed as she blushed bright red and smiled.
"I can't believe you did that." I stood up and pulled her body close to mine.
"That was very inappropriate." I pressed my lips against hers and ran my fingers through her hair. She let a moan escape her mouth, and I pulled her even closer, kissing her like it was the last time we'd see each other.
"Cancel the rest of your day," I whispered.
"I can't."
"Why not?"
"I really need the overtime," she caught her breath.
"Plus it's promo week. Everyone is staying at least 2 hours over. That's why our dinner reservation is so late. I can try to come back up at 6:30 or..."
"I don't think so." I picked up my phone and called Angela.
Could you get me Harry in Executive Affairs, please? Thank you. Hello, Harry. How are you? I'm great. Thanks for asking. I'm calling because I need you to...